This morning I want to start off thinking about adventures, missions that we might have been on, a task that's been really, really challenging that you might have done in your life. Maybe we could probably all think of something, some sort of mission, some sort of adventure. Anyone want to call out any that you might have participated in? I know there's lots, everyone's got them. I've got a whole bunch. Oh, sorry, what's that, Kitty?
The Milford Track.
Oh, well, yeah, well, that's a great one, yeah. So like an outdoor adventure? Yeah, Milford Track. Whoa. That's
rafting
cool. I'd love to do that one day. Sorry.
Rafting a waterfall.
Rafting a waterfall. Oh, gee. Oof. Scary. Good on you. Good on you. It could be things like a long tramping trip. Anyone here done a long tramping trip? Very, some people. Imani and Livy, I know you girls have done a very long tramping trip. That's a bit of an adventure. I dragged Imani around a big course last year. Or maybe staying over with friends for the first time. That can be a bit of a bit of adventure. What about carrying your baby for 9 months through to birth? That's be a bit of a mission. Whew. Or caring for a family member over the long haul, or an overseas adventure. Some of us have been on overseas adventures or about to go on overseas adventures. Completing a race, a triathlon, an adventure race, a marathon. Or putting up with an awful habit of a spouse for a long time. You know, some might have, maybe you haven't. Or learning something new, like a new language. Or joining a team, kapa haka team, or organising a big event. Those are all big missions, adventures. Being on a mission can involve a lot of different emotions and experiences, can't it? There's the highs of various successes along the way. The joy of looking back to see how far you've come. I like doing that when I'm climbing something. Oh, phew, if it's not like I've just done nothing, I've actually done something. There's the fear of not being able to complete that task that's ahead of us, and maybe the pain involved in actually trying to complete it. There's often risks involved, right? Sometimes self-doubt or underestimating the activity and having to takes a lot, it's a lot harder or longer than you think. And annoying differences that emerge with others along the way. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be exploring a mission that we've all been invited to be a part of. Indeed, even called to be a part of. It's a mission that sometimes will have us simply hanging on tight, trying and wanting to not let go despite great pressure. It's a mission that involves facing our fears and being courageous. It's a mission that requires us to use the gifts and abilities that we naturally have and to rely on others for theirs. Like for Tom Cruise, for Ethan Hunt, you know, it might look and sound impossible, but it's not. You know, it's not impossible because ultimately it is not our mission. It's not the church's mission that I'm talking about here. It is God's mission, and God invites us. God calls us to be a part of it. And I quite like the word invited. I like how it's gentle. It's not pushy. I like how there's an option. It's not compulsory. We're invited into God's mission. There's a gentle option of choosing to participate in the amazing work and vision that God has and is working on and will complete. What is God's mission? It's to renew all things, to make all things new. The whenua, not completed, not polluted and depleted, but renewed. The systems and structures we live in, we exist in, not power hungry, but renewed. Our lives, not hopeless or caught in unhelpful cycles, not suffering, dying, or sinful, but renewed. God's mission that we are invited into involves living our everyday lives in whatever way we're gifted and led by God towards this renewal. And God isn't pushy. God has given us freedom to choose. And sometimes we use the word call to say that God has called us into God's mission. Now, the word call is a bit stronger than invite, isn't it? I sort of think of call, well, I like to think of it, not, you know, I'm sure there's lots of other ways of saying it, but I like to think of call like a strong invitation. It's not that there it's not just that there's an option to join God's mission that we can take or leave. It's true, but God really does want us to join in. It's that sort of call. So over the next 3 weeks of Renew Together, we're going to be looking at exploring three things: knowing God's call for the world, embracing God's call for the world, and stepping into the places that God is calling us to. So there was a guy called Paul who had learned about God's mission and had responded to God's invite, God's call, to join in. Now, for Paul, this meant going throughout much of the Roman Empire telling people about Jesus. So today we're going to explore the ways, the wise ways that Paul went about this, and what we can learn which might help us as we join in with God's mission of renewing all things in our lives, world. So Paul's on a special trip, born in the land where Aaron used to live and in which our friend David is currently holidaying, which was, anyone know? In Turkey, yes. So Paul has left there and he's going throughout the ancient regions which make up modern-day Turkey. And he crosses over the Aegean Sea and ends up in Athens. Now, I know from experience that if you arrive in Athens in the middle of the night, that the airport seating is designed to be very uncomfortable for sleeping on. But in Athens, Paul is waiting for some friends to join him. He looks around the city, exploring the faith and culture of the people. And Paul isn't shy of talking with groups of people. And in one particular group, he starts saying to the people of Athens, he says, "As I went through the city and I looked carefully at the objects of your worship." He says those words. And so we see that Paul is a pretty good student. He listened to the people and studied their beliefs. He then recognized the faith that they already had. They had some faith. And when he sees a statue to an unknown God, Paul uses it as a way to explain who Jesus is. He specifically pointed to what they already knew by quoting their own philosophers and poets. He uses their language, their culture. He says that God is not very far from any of us, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. I'm going to throw on the next one, please, Tim. Thanks. I love how Paul recognizes that God is already with these people in Athens, and that in their worship to idols there lies a deep desire to connect with God. It exists already. Even in the last couple of weeks, I've had conversations with people where it is clear that there is a desire to connect with God, even though it might not look like that in the outward. And then Paul picks up this Bible theme of God already being present with people, with all people. And the key thing there is a reminder, I guess, to us that we don't bring God when we arrive at a place. Rather, we listen and we observe and learn and sense where God is already present and already at work. Joining in with God on God's mission involves sensing where the good news of Jesus meets a deep angst and a desire in people at that time and place. And so for Paul, this involved revealing something of the living God to them at the people's request. Paul's message is that the Creator and Sustainer, the God of all peoples, this God is central to all things. A God who made people in such a way that they could know God. And there's some responses that the people have that Paul is talking to them, and there's three of them. Some scoffed, some were open to hearing more, and some joined with Paul and became believers. And if this is the response that Paul received, then we shouldn't be surprised if we receive similar responses, right? We can be put off by the scoffers, or we can carry on living out the good news of God's love and of Jesus' resurrection. And we can notice if anybody is joining us or becoming believers. This could be a sign to us, if that's not happening, to find another way to connect or to change our message, by as we look at the culture and the beliefs and desires of a people group. Or it may mean it's wise to change our message by listening to the deep needs and to the angst and to the desires of the people in front of us. Paul understood that mission isn't a monologue. Rather, it's an attitude of openness to listening, observing, learning, and entering two-way conversations, to learn from one another and to share about the living God as revealed in Jesus Christ. So what might this all mean for us as a church, committed to God's mission, to all things being made new? I'm really conscious that Mother's Day is coming up. That might seem a bit of a weird thing to hear, perhaps. But it's the second day in May, we know that. Traditionally, as a church, we've run an event at the school hall in which has been enjoyed and very well received. And through conversations and feedback and reflection, it seems it's time to make some changes. Now, if God is already present, and if there is desire for connection with the living God, which I seriously think there is, and if there are ways of living and being that already reflect this, which there absolutely are from knowing our community, then how might we join in and support this? How might we participate in God's mission that we believe God has called us to and placed us here for in Spotswood? Most of the feedback from our community have expressed gratitude. That's been by far the majority of the feedback has been gratitude for what we were doing, and for a desire. Also, the other bit of feedback is a desire for events that bring people together. So there's a few comments about that. And when I hear that, I think, well, wow, that's really awesome. That is something we can do, right? We're pretty good at that. We have something to offer. We can help bring people together and interact and stuff. It's what we like to do. And I also think, what should we do? What could that look like? Who's going to help? All of those sort of things. Practical things. So in line with our vision of going forward as a church, you know, whatever we do, it needs to, we want it to be simple, we want it to be sustainable, we want it to be light. Some sort of gathering. Some good yet simple food. Opportunities for people to mix and connect. Intergenerational. And I should really point out here that Alison and Chris are heading away for 3 months. You've got to go and ask Alison what they're up to and what a mission and adventure that is, because that sounds amazing what they're going to be doing. I say that because Alison's like organised it all the last few years, quite a few years. I don't know how many years. Many, many. So what might you have some ideas? Might we have some ideas? If you do, man, I'd love to hear them. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to throw some ideas around together. Even after the service today, because I was thinking, oh, next week's not that great because we've got the AGM, and then I'm away the weekend after that, so that's not going to work. So that would be fantastic. Just the other thing I want to say is that on this topic is that I was at the Taranaki Pride Week launch this week. And it was quite humbling. Honestly, I felt like I was being treated with royalty, like royalty. Not that I know what that's like, but I mean, if you wore purple, you might know what being treated like royalty is like. Jacob, Jess. But I felt like I was being treated like royalty. All these people seemed to know that I was the West Baptist Community Church guy. And people just went out of their way, just saw me walk in, and they just came and just welcomed me and just said how much they appreciated me being there. And then after some speeches, people realized that, you know, I was sort of by myself a bit, and they were just coming up and talking to me and saying, come over, join us. And then they were just telling me these stories. I just heard numerous people's stories, like in-depth sort of stuff. And they were thanking us, me, but us, for what we've done and for what we're doing. And I can't help but think, like with Paul in Athens, that Yes, God is present and God is at work. And God is helping renew the hurt and to break down the church walls that divide and reject. And I share that to encourage us to keep going in this scary, amazing adventure that is God's mission. It's going to be really good having hosting Thank God for Pride service as part of Pride Week in about 3 weeks' time. So to help us focus on God's mission over the next 3 weeks, our friends at Joya in Calcutta have made these luggage tags. Oh, hang on. These luggage tags here. So on them, we'll see a head, a heart, and feet, little icons, alongside a globe, which has New Zealand on it, which is nice. And these remind us of God's call for our world, to know it, embrace it, and step into it. So these relate to our 3 weeks of Renew Together, to together know God's call, embrace God's call, step into the places that God is calling us to. So please come and take one during the rest of the service or afterwards or during morning tea. Maybe place it somewhere, maybe attach it to something, and take notice. When we see the tag, take notice and ask these questions. What are we thinking? What are we feeling? What are our next steps thinking about God and God's mission? Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this reminder, this much needed reminder for me at least of your mission and your invitation and your call to us to be a part of it. We acknowledge and thank you for the myriad of ways that everybody in this room is a part of that and contributing into that in everyday parts of life. We haven't all been to Turkey, but we are living faithfully in the ways that you have called us to here in Ngamotu, New Plymouth. Please continue to guide us. Help us to listen well, to observe well, and on invitation to share something of your goodness, of your love of Jesus and his resurrection. Speak to us and lead us, God, over these next 3 weeks. Open our hearts and minds to be aware of what is happening around the world. And when things might seem quite challenging here, help us to also remember that your church around the world is just blooming in so many ways, blossoming, growing. And we thank you for that. We think of the video and I want to pray for the hostels that exist in Bangladesh. Thank you for the Fafini Hostel that we have some connection and support and relationship with. And we think of Jidan in there, who we sponsor, and want to ask for your blessing on him and his life and on his education and on his family and on his knowing of you. May he find himself... We think of him in friends, and that may they be a real support to one another and an encouragement to him, and that he may be being a really good friend to those that he's friends with as well. We think of the rebuilds that are happening with the hostels in Bangladesh, and we thank you for that and all the extra support that that's going to enable. And we lift up to you, God, the hostel parents, some of which we saw in the video. But we lift up those hostel parents as they are so key in setting the culture for these hostels. Please grace them with love for these kids, for patience, for wisdom, for resiliency, and that they may have that support around them that they need. Amen. Sweet.